Okay. We are attempting to blend our soprano section into some sort of ensemble. We shall see how that do goeth. Warm you up a bit to give you some. Please stand.
Keep lifting the back of your palate. Don't.
That's how you do it. Keep lifting the back this way. Keep feeling it coming up in the back, and your focus remaining the same in front. Again. This is good. We're trying to get the sopranos up above their break, doing something interesting. Beginning. So we're going to try a few other sopranos this morning. See where you are, how you're doing, what you're doing, what you sound like. So, Joanna, you will go to the piano, please. Just only going to ask you for first pitches, and we will be singing a cappella. Actually, it is a cappella. Many people say a cappello. A pillow is what you sleep on. How many do not know what a cappella means? How many know what it means literally? What does it mean literally? It means literally the chapel. A cappella. The chapel. Did the ladies get this?
We didn't get it either.
It usually does. That's a very good one. of the chapel, meaning the Sistine Chapel. You know, the Pope's place. And as music developed through the medieval period, and especially during the late medieval, early Baroque, when instruments became popular, the Pope considered instruments to be profane. And to separate sacred from profane, in the sacred chapel, the music of the Mass was not allowed to be accompanied by instruments, as instruments were profane. So, therefore, it became customary, and still is today in the Sistine Chapel, to sing unaccompanied by instruments. And, of course, to write music for unaccompanied voices became quite popular and posh. And so music that was sung unaccompanied began to be called music of the chapel. And which meant this is to be sung in a manner of the chapel. So it's to be sung a cappella, which means unaccompanied singing. That's what that means. Has come to mean. Literally means of the chapel. Now it goes across the street. So, let us begin then with a few sopranos here. Let's see, some of our sopranos left the town, I see. And I'm in my roll book this morning, but you better get it. Come here, Marianne Friedrichsen.
B part. Give us the C major chord. What makes a good chord tone? Roundness, but with brightness. With clarity, without being brilliant and thin. Now, there are very brilliant voices which we add in judiciously to create real fire. In fact, when we do a reflecting choir, we add a lot of brilliant soprano voices. Our altos are real rich. Our tenors are very lively. I use a lot of life in the tenor. And we have a very round bass section. But the sopranos, we add a lot of life. Otherwise, the tone is very heavy and dark, thick, and operatic. And we don't want that in gospel music. So we always add a lot of brightness. So judiciously place very bright voices with very handy. We use Jack Brockman's voice and the voice's voice. We usually rally around Grace Bell's voice if she's not having children. Okay, let's hear Shelley again. Is that right? escaping any sort of liberation. Okay, but that was my brother, this bunch over here. Stand right here, not between them, but in front of them.
Right?
We'll come in. Let me take three of you. He's the same great God.
Stand there,
Queen Carol.
as minimalist type.
Now, let me figure out what you can
do.
One thing he has is a heavenly that supports it for his job. This is kind of interesting in knowledge of what they get with it. They get in a beginning group where they are blending volume lines. They start to sing the hugeness of the voice. Causes this in the lightness of the strength that is very thick. And we put Tina Cosang and Marvin Taylor and Andy Willis together with a few other people. That's a huge sound. I mean, you could move the road if you could. If you lose the light, you say, I'm going to move this place. Let me. Let me try you right here. Let Thank you. also get brighter darkness. Put far between that. That will change. And when you have a voice like that, when you start a group someplace, you've got to cover it. You've got to bury it, or it'll stick out. And you don't want any voices sticking out, or it will ruin ensemble. And so, this is a principle then, when blending voices. And you usually come up against one, two, or three hard voices that you don't know where to put them. And, you know, and they're usually your best people, you know what I mean? They're always in every rehearsal. They pray for you, you know. But they have this vibrato problem or something, you know. You've got to know what to do with a voice like that. Well, what we're going to do is the famous music principle that you read in the great treatises of musicology called the eeny, meeny, miny, So, let me hear our whole ensemble now.
Sounds good.
No, I wouldn't have ever put her there. I'm kind of because she We can cover the brightness of the voice with the brightness of Anita's voice, where that brightness doesn't exist over here. See? Yes. Let's try it. And I have a pencil. Now, Sherry is working really hard at the doll shape right now. And out of control of the noise. It's not going to sound like it.
We're going to sing.
Squeeze for a minute.
Okay.
That isn't too bad at all.
That's improved a little, about 600%, you think? Since
when you were just kind of sitting there. Let's leave this. Remember who you're next to. Let's do somebody else. And we'll come back to you.
Yeah. I feel great in the prayer, but I'm fighting the prayer. Because, that, you know, it's like just so different.
I can understand that. Switch with Shelly and Terry Swift. Let's see what. See about this.
I'm not saying I would have a real problem. I would just have to concentrate more, and that would be good for me.
Let me try several.
I'm striving for perfection. That's my problem. Angels don't laugh.
They don't.
Well, I'm going to leave you for now.
You going to leave her there?
No, no. Back to the original that I thought was all right.
Should I
switch to my fairy? Okay. Now, go ahead and take your seats, but remember to be next to you, all right? Now, alto.
Yeah, I thought
that. Alto part, I want to sing that same melody in the key of C. All alto singing that melody, ready? Take it down to B flat, would you? Just play the chord, okay? Chord. Lackluster. Sing it to me, not so lackluster, all right? Ready?
For Jesus' sake.
And a lot of brilliance in the back. Can I have no talking, please, in the sopranos? The alto lights would include Marcy and Sandy. Probably Elizabeth. Hmm? Yeah, what are you in platform? That's a whole different ensemble. Because we're, you know, in this class, we don't have Chris and Julie and Chris or Carrie Berry and some of these other huge voices. Well, the best way to do this is to take you one at a time. Let me hear Faye. And Carlin? Carlene? Shouting at your children or something? You just got up. You hear Sandy? Hmm?
Waiting for Robert, that's right.
Sandy? You hear that clarity? You hear that life? What's the matter with you, Denise? You get up a little earlier and run laps. Mars? Anita? Lynette? You've been singing at a country group in that. Grace? Let me hear Tracy and Sandy together. Ready for this? You girls ever sing out of tune of each other and it's dynamite. You have the same overtone structure. And if you ever sing out of tune, they'll fight like cats and dogs. But if you sing in tune, it's really good. Okay, let me hear Denise, Carlene, and Marcy. A real similar tune there, do you notice? Now, let me hear Faye and the Fruit.
For
Talk
probably Faye will be a transitional voice between them and this other. I know pretty much what I'm going to do, but we'll do you in a line on Friday. I think I know pretty much what to do. And then we'll take your tone, and then we'll rework the soprano tone, because your tone isn't going to be reworkable.
And then somehow we got to blend the tenors to all this. Yeah, rule book. Joanne, you got my rule book? Oh, they mean...